Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And it is our 100th episode.
Yeah, and our one-year anniversary.
Two-year anniversary.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know it's easy to like squish the pandemic together, but it has been 2 years.
It's been two full years of the scintillating opinions that you get on this podcast. So we are doing a very special episode. We have some special segments planned. We are going to briefly discuss the actual wrestling of the week. Somewhere in the middle there, sandwiched between, special. Again, I say special segments. There will be special segments. Do you think I captured it? Do you think that's the kind of great hosting that you expect after 2 years of podcasting?
Yeah, I think people listen to that and they say, wow, she is seasoned.
Yeah, they say they've gotten so much smoother. Everything they do is so on point.
Now it's the affectation of amateurishness, but actually
that's right.
We're seasoned professionals.
This is all a work, really.
This is all a work. So true. Okay, we are going to start out by explaining last year for our 1 year anniversary, we purchased and consumed each one full bottle of Chris Jericho's a Taste of the Bubbly.
We did.
One of the best champagnes I've ever had.
Not a little bit. A little bit of the bubbly? Is it a taste of the bubbly?
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. You're
a little
right.
bit of the bubbly.
I was always jealous that I never got to have any of it.
Well, especially because afterwards we waxed so poetic about the experience of drinking it.
Exactly. We did. Well, it had such a weird aftertaste. And then we all downed the whole bottle, which I had not been planning on at the beginning of the evening. And then not one of us was even a little bit hungover the next day.
Yeah. And we had planned on doing that again this year. But did you guys know that a little bit of the bubbly sold out?
Sold out
for real.
How is that possible?
Maybe our listeners bought it up after they heard you guys having such a good time.
Actually, if I recall correctly, we did say last year that because we didn't get carded when they delivered it, we were like,
true.
any underage drinkers out there who are looking for
looking for
an
a
easy
way to
get liquor, you can just buy Wrestler's Vanity wine. So maybe
that's what happened.
So we are,
you know what's
criminals.
Crazy? I just went to open it up because I was like, is it still sold out?
No.
It is, actually. I thought it wasn't.
I was about to be mad.
I know, I was
it's back in stock, I would have been like, we have to lie to the listeners and make it next week.
But we do have a little replacement drinky that we made. And you found this one. You want to explain what we're drinking?
Yeah, well, in a panic, when I saw that it was sold out a month or two ago, I was like, what are we going to do? And then I started Googling, like, wrestling cocktails and stuff, which leads you to a lot of, like, Reddit posts from 6 or 7 years ago. And you're like, this isn't helpful. I watch AEW. But someone had created an Orange Cassidy cocktail, which we have made. It's a Moscow Mule situation adaptation.
We'll tweet the link Sunday.
It's quite good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good. I wasn't expecting. I am not a sweet person, so when I saw how much juice, like citrus juice, was in it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. But the ginger beer really makes a difference.
Yeah, It's super good. Orange juice, lemon juice, lime juice. Loving it.
So we're down in that, and our first special segment. So we'll be getting pretty tipsy on that. Our first special segment, which we're joined for by producer Marjorie. You know her, you love her. She'll be here throughout the night. We listened to a selection of our early episodes from 2 years ago. And how long had we been watching wrestling for? It was like six months-ish.
Because I think we started watching in like August, September, and then we started the podcast in March.
Yeah. So confidently
started the podcast six to eight months after we started watching.
Actually, because yeah. we made it as a joke, and then producer Marjorie messaged us and was like, "You know it, you could do that." And we were like, "No, I don't know. Like, can we?" And she was like, "Yeah."
She said, when are we recording? Yeah, she was like, "There's really no gatekeeping. When are we recording a pilot episode?" And we were like, "I guess this week we could."
And I knew you ladies love to chat. and I said, I know they can do this.
Margaret kind of said, they need an outlet. They have so many thoughts.
Their heads are full of thoughts. They've got to come out.
Got to be siphoned out of this group chat. There needs to be a safe outlet.
So we were just going to share some of our impressions of our early podcasting, our old opinions about wrestling. What do you guys got for me?
I am shocked. There's been multiple listeners who have contacted us and said, I'm working my way through your archive. How they did that is out of control. I like the thing that like struck me when I first started listening, I was like, God, our mics were so bad.
So bad. It's really startling right off the bat. Before we like invested money in good mics, which we did early and I felt stupid about it at the time, but it was fully worth it.
You were right to do it.
Mm-hmm. So right. It's startling how much of a difference it made.
Yeah.
And our super long intro was very funny.
Very funny. Mm-hmm. Big dork intro.
Because we'd only been watching for 6 to 8 months, we really felt like we had to front load, like, don't come at us about how we don't know anything. We know we don't know anything. We're muddling our way through.
Yeah. Honestly, we were smart to do that because, like, listening to it, like, there were definitely things where I was like, well, like, I clearly don't know anything. But because we were so upfront about how we don't know anything, and we usually didn't get out over our skis too often, like, so I didn't come across as dumb as I was afraid I had, because mostly we're talking about things that we have, have the capability to talk about, like Miro's sexual menace, you know, which we're fully qualified to discuss without much wrestling knowledge at all.
You know, it was interesting, like, it's not that I felt like we said a lot of stuff that was really incredibly wrong, although I'm sure we did. But it was more that it was like listening to a toddler say things that are right. And like they're being like, okay, bear with me. But what I think is that 1 + 1 here might equal 2.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong, that's but true. It's not high level analysis either.
Not like what we do now.
Well, we've gotten a lot better. We understand a lot. I mean, it's like things like we were just like figuring out, like, I think this could be a trope in wrestling. Like, has anyone thought of this? This might be something that's like really common in wrestling, or like just like laboriously being like, so I think that when Kenny does a squash, that might communicate to people that he's on bad behavior and he's being a heel. Something I said, where it's like, now I listen to it and I'm like, yeah. So you figured out what a squash match is for. Amazing work.
That was definitely something I noticed too, and to the point where I was just sort of like, there's no self-consciousness either. Like the one I listened to was right after the Bucks turned heel. And I was like, yeah. And I just thought it was really inventive that they got like new heel outfits. It's like, yeah, everybody who's heel gets a new outfit. But there's no self-consciousness about like, maybe there's a history of this. When I see it's new. When I see it, I'm the first one who's ever seen it.
It's quite sweet. It is how a child learns, I believe.
Just looking at the world around you, putting things together. I know. And the one I was listening to, it had just been like the Britt Thunder Rosa lights out match. And we're like, wow, I'm really excited for them to like, maybe the women are going to get some good stories now, which I thought was very cute and sad.
You know better now.
I do know better now. Although now I do keep hoping that and saying it out loud.
Well, they do have a story now. It's just that it involves too much spray paint, but, were you guys, did we have any opinions about wrestlers that perturbed or excited you from today's vantage point?
Do you guys remember when we called Angelico Mr. Italy?
Yes, I love that.
R.I.P.
It was just the amount of talking about Mr. Italy that we did in the podcast I was listening to. I was like, I can't believe we ever had this many opinions on Angelico.
But he hasn't technically left, has he? Or has he?
No, I think he's still kind of there. Around. Yeah.
It's just Jack Evans.
Jack Evans.
Jack's gone, yeah.
There are a lot of people being mentioned that are not, they may be around, but I don't interact with them anymore.
Well, so, we were spending quite a bit of time on like the YouTube shows, which is also very cute in those early episodes.
I know. And we exclusively called it Dark Elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of a joke that someone made.
Hangman, I think.
Hangman did a little tweet about it. Mm. Oh, I had something I was going to say and I've completely forgotten it, which is great radio.
Marjorie, do you think we've gotten any better having listened to us for 2 years?
You definitely have gotten better, but my opinion has always been that you took to podcasting very quickly because we've all listened to plenty of podcasts in the past.
So true.
And I think that it really was a natural fit for you guys. So yes, you know lots more stuff now. And you have simply watched the product for a lot longer, so you kind of know a few more things. I thought you gals were always talented.
Thank you. I'm glad we made you stay on so people can hear how you're our biggest hype woman.
Yeah, this is how the podcast got started.
What I was going to say that I forgot is that in the episode I listened to, Leah and I were doing a bit where we kept saying that Chris Jericho was so sexy and we were huge Chris Jericho fans. And, that was funny because I thought, wow, we were the whole time. We were just moving towards the day that joke was not a joke anymore, which is the only thing that we ever do.
That's our whole trajectory.
Not that I find him that sexy, but as a performer, yes. Sexually, yes. You guys have anything else to share?
Oh, in the very first episode, Leah says something was horny and we all giggled nervously like we weren't sure we were going to talk like that in this podcast.
Look at us now, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's been quite a slide. Now we can say anything.
Leah said we tried to keep it in check, but we can only do so much.
She tries every day.
It's not our fault that the product itself is horny.
I think it might be almost exactly a year from when I actually edited Allie out from saying show hole.
Oh my God, and now we get to say it? Can I say it?
Yeah.
Wow, show we're hole. Really off the leash.
Show hole. One time on the product, Orange Cassidy showed hole. And I wasn't allowed to say it at the time.
I almost brought that up as well. It's not like you say anything on the show now, but I guess we have how you do.
One band phrase, but no longer.
No more.
I wish that the listeners could see my excitement.
I only know that because the night that you said it, I was babysitting for my friend whose baby, they were in labor with their child. And now that child just turned one. And I was like, oh, it's the 1 year anniversary. We're having a serious conversation. I was like, can we not say show hole?
I actually don't remember you having that conversation. I just remember you editing it out. Like I listened back to it and was like, wow, I guess I kind of felt like I said something in there that's no longer in the show. Makes you think. Okay. Ooh. Do we want to talk about intelligently at a high level, as we know how to do, about some stuff that happened on the show this week?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love to.
Okay. We are going to start by, it's our special day, so we're going to talk about our special boys, okay? Only special boys tonight. We're talking about the Elite. Dynamite this week opened with a sketch in which we learned that the Bucks had been attacked and were being rushed to the hospital in separate ambulances because Matt Jackson was on vacation, but I thought to myself, that strains credulity. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
When I realized what was happening, I did laugh really hard, you know, like when they were like, oh, Matt's ambulance is already gone. I was like, ha, on BT, he said he was going to be there. Tricksters.
They got him. So Hangman was present at Nick's ambulance, and after a moment of tortured indecision, he stopped the ambulance door from closing, hopped in there with Nick. Kenny was nearby looking fraught, but he was held back by Don Callis, who said that Kenny needed to focus on his main event match versus Vikingo. So we had segments throughout the show that were checking in on Kenny and Don on Blackpool Combat Club doing some senseless backstage violence. Then we had the Kenny Vikingo main event. They did things with their bodies that defied the laws of God and man. Afterwards, Kenny did win, and we'll discuss all this. Afterwards, Blackpool Combat Club came out, attacked him. Hangman stole an ambulance to come save him, but Don Callis pretended that Hangman knocked him out with a bat, and so Kenny was taken away looking like, was just saying like, why did you do that? Why would you do that? Take it away, ladies.
I saw a lot of people on the internet being genuinely mad at Don Callis in a way that was cracking me up. Don Callis needs to die.
It is so funny. It's like everyone yelling at like the villain from Frozen or something. It's like we are all adults, right?
But it's nice not to be for a moment. It's such a pure, simple pleasure to just be like, he's so bad. Kenny, why won't you turn around and see how bad he's being?
I think it was our friend Mary who was like, I like when wrestling makes you feel like you're on Dora the Explorer and you're like, yes. Swiper. It's Swiper, turn around.
What did you guys think about the pacing of the episode, all the backstage segments and stuff?
It was so nicely paced. Like,
I'm sorry.
The way you said that,
you did sound like you really said it. Like you were mad. You were like, I can't believe she asked that question. Yeah, I won't be like, talking about it.
I'll be invoking my Fifth Amendment rights.
And what did you think about the pacing of the episode?
I thought the pacing was great. I had big complaints about the pacing last week, and it was like this week they really, I think, like saw the light, and because they were really interspersing things throughout the episode really nicely, where you were like, oh, Hangman went to the hospital. It's a whole like commentary kept checking in on it, and then you're like, at Kenny's match, like, what's going to happen? And then when Kenny got the pin like 3 minutes before the hour, it was like, ooh. So I loved it.
I thought it was great. Like, it just was, it felt so fun to have this clear like through line and to feel like things were feeding into each other. Like, I just kept having the stupid toddler thought if I'm just like, wow, it's easier to watch a lot of matches in a row and they take you from one to the other in a way that makes sense. It's so fun. Because somebody pointed out on Twitter that they did the thing too where it's like Renee was interviewing Jade and then Stokely Hathaway interrupted at the end to like transition into some stuff with Stokely. Like, and it's like, it was just, it felt very interconnected in a very fun way. I had a great time. What do you guys think about Evil Snake Man Don Callis?
Three different chats I was in were like, I think Don Callis might have been working with BCC to attack the Young Buck, because Jeff said that to me first. He was like, this might be weird, but, and then like, yeah, Leah's friend Sarah said it, and then our group chat also said it. I was like, I think maybe people are onto something here.
So true. Do you think the issue is that Don Callis is homophobic, which is something that I saw being thrown around?
Really? Wow.
Like, between like Kenny and Hangman, or was, who's he being homophobic at?
Yeah, it could
all
be anyone.
Of them, I think.
Yeah. All four of them. Yeah, probably. Probably he's homophobic.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, I am joking.
I think that's got to be it, though, probably. He's like,
probably.
He's trying to take Kenny to gay conversion therapy, you think?
Wow. I think that's probably going to be what's going to happen this spring.
Huge if true. What'd you guys think of the main event match?
Oh, my God. That was wild. I was expecting it to be, because I saw how many people being like, you need to brace for how good Vikingo is. And I was not braced enough. Like, there were so many things that I was like, he did like a 450 splash off the middle rope or something. He did something crazy off the middle rope.
It was a 650 and it was off the middle rope and then onto a table.
Look at these women.
Yeah.
Look at
I didn't know any of this. I just saw someone on Twitter being like, a 650 is really hard anyway, but the thing about Vikingo is that he like does three things that make it harder, where it's like off the middle rope, like onto a table so you have less time to turn, and like at a full run, which crazy. Absolutely. Sounds very plausible, and believe it, it looked insane.
It looked insane. There was a lot of adrenaline going in that whole back half hour with the match itself, and then just the sight of Hangman brandishing his big bat and protecting poor defenseless Kenny. Mm-hmm. It's really just really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know. I thought for a minute, like when Hangman, before he got in the ambulance, I kind of thought like, oh, the Young Bucks are being taken away and like Kenny and Hangman are going to be left like alone, the two of them. But then, no, Hangman went off in the ambulance. But it was a great ending for Kenny and Hangman. Great complications.
I said this to you at the time, but I still think it'll be very funny if we get a BTE sketch where Kenny and Hangman are sitting in the ER waiting room waiting for the bus.
Being like really not next to each other, like sitting across the room, but yeah.
That would be very funny. One other thing from Dynamite, Stokely Hathaway had his big match versus Hook, and it was just funny. That's the only reason we wanted to talk about it. It was so fun and funny.
On this Rebel podcast where we only talk about things we care about and we don't have to justify it. Yeah, I fucking loved it. It was a trip.
Stokely Hathaway is like a comedy genius, like having a sick note on the receipt. Like that stuff was phenomenal. Like just running away at the start, like little bit of it.
I find it really interesting because like when he first started, like they seemed like Tony was like trying to put him in several places to see like where he would fit. And he wasn't quite working, even though we did know he was funny, but it wasn't like he wasn't really doing what he needed to be doing with Jade. And so I just feel very pleased that he and Ethan have found what they need to be doing. Cause like the whole firm is just, it's working so well.
Yeah. Ethan was so funny when he was like, we didn't practice any of the deathmatch stuff.
They have such a shocking, like the whole firm has such a shocking, like, cohesive sitcom cast energy where you're like, this shouldn't work, but it does. I love Matt Hardy more than I ever have now that he's in the firm. I love Isaiah Cassidy. I love Ethan Page.
When they all came down the ramp behind Stokely, like kind of cheering and being real enthusiastic, it was very sitcom energy.
It's great. They're doing a great job. Made us happy. Okay. Anything else to say about that?
No.
Okay. Final topic. No relevant matches from this week. No upcoming matches. But it's our time to talk about Mommy's Little Dustin, Chuck Taylor. And
he's
we'll never see him again.
Because he just doesn't do anything that would be relevant. So we're going rogue. We're just going rogue. He got a haircut. And it's so cute.
Big haircut
for a big boy.
Yeah. Just grinning like a little toddler in the barber chair. I really thought he was like full on growing it out too, because it was getting really long, and then it was like, oh, I guess not.
Yeah, well, definitely going too long to be accidental. It's not like he was just off a couple haircuts. Like it was intentional.
Yeah, but he wouldn't commit to it. He kept wearing the headbands on top of that look in a way so that the hair flopped down over the headband. It did look insane. And I was like, I just think maybe you don't know how to live without your headbands anymore for some reason. I'm not sure why. But also, I don't know. Like, I don't think he had gotten good layers cut. Like,
well, it didn't look like he was getting anything cut. It was just like a straight grow out.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, the texture of your hair changes as you get older. And I've experienced this myself. Like sometimes you think like, wow, this would have looked great when I was young. But then it looks different when you're old. And he's old. And I'm just kidding. I love you, Dustin. We're all old here. We're all old. But I just think that like he must have decided like I can't deal with the uncertainty of having hair of a length where, like, you have good hair days and bad hair days. When you're just gelling it back, it's harder to have a bad hair day.
Yeah.
So true. It's true. He probably wasn't ready for the commitment.
Wasn't ready.
I love he is this. Attached to those headbands. I mean, those are his little Linus blankies, you know?
Yeah. You might be onto something there. There is emotional support headbands. That sounds right. Dustin also posted a picture of his bloody mouth and said that he had to get emergency dental surgery, so he couldn't show up to Dynamite. he has been saying for 2 years, probably for the full duration of this podcast, no, but for at least a year, year and a half, that he had to get his wisdom teeth out. Do you think that he has had a toothache for 2 years?
Doesn't that seem incredibly possible? Like, that's, yeah, that it is does, him. Yeah.
Yeah. It like worries me a lot, though.
It's a long time to have a toothache, yeah. And if it had like got to the point where it was an emergency, that's like bad if you've been living with tooth pain for a while, but then it reaches a level where you have to miss work.
I don't like that. That troubles me.
It's troubling. Do you think he switched dental insurance, or it just got to a situation where he had to pay out of pocket?
I don't know.
This is the dust and speculation hour.
I know. This is information we would have if he still twitched.
I know. Well, if he ever did again. Anything, if he ever showed him.
Well, if he had a toothache for 2 years, I guess I'll be easier on him about the things he has or hasn't done.
I won't.
Yeah, maybe he's not twitching because he was just in agony, mouth hurts. In tooth agony.
He can talk to me about that.
He can't talk. It makes him hurt. It makes his mouth hurt. God. He can't. He was in pain. My beautiful boy.
He had to give his equipment to Orange Cassidy.
It killed him to do that.
Our friend Sarah pointed out, and I think she's right, that the only reason we know about the emergency dental surgery is because he had a cool picture to share. If he didn't have that picture, we'd never know.
Yeah. Well, and Trent also ran out without him, and people might have gotten annoyed
he
about it.
He wouldn't have given a shit. He never held it. He never, we're like, where was Dustin? And he'll never sell.
Remember it's that like 6 months everybody was asking Sean Ross Sapp every 5 minutes where Chuck Taylor was?
I think about it all the time.
Sarah said that like his tooth, the picture of him with the bloody mouth was on the front page of Fightful, and like they did like make it a section of like one of their like digests or whatever. And
I thought it was on the Wrestling Observer for some reason, or it was like on maybe it was Fightful. I think about it all the time because I do every time like Sean Ross Sapp's energy that time everyone was asking. It was in one of his like open Q&As. It was just like, okay, I'll look into that. It's not really what I expected you guys to be fixated on. Like,
it's not the biggest name in the industry, but like, okay, I'll put some feelers out. I know. TK, take notice. I know.
Well, Dustin, take notice. Dustin says, I do notice, and I wish that you weren't fans of me, to be honest. And I don't know why I got a full segment on your anniversary podcast when I'd rather not be discussed at all.
It's a special
hearing
treat
from
for
my
us.
Lawyers.
Little legal letter. He's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then he sends you a little legal letter afterwards saying, no.
Yeah, they can talk about me on their podcast. Actually, they weren't clear to talk about me on their podcast. Now we're industry.
Inside gossip, yeah.
Yeah, we've got that inside baseball. Don't worry, we remain our own individual people with our own crazy opinions that nobody else agrees with.
that we've gotten to from first principles with no background knowledge.
Yes. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about from the world of wrestling this week?
Well, on the topic of Dustin, are they ever going to, like OC wrestled with Sting and Darby this week. Are we ever going to say, like, is he friends with best friends still? What's happening?
Hard to say. Hey, Anne, that's a great question, but I'll say to you, it's hard to say.
I'll put some feelers out.
Yeah, put some feelers out. I'd love that.
I don't know why you want to know, but I'll ask around.
In our first episode, we were talking about the Miro best friend storyline, and I was like, oh, 2 years ago, the last time they had a coherent storyline. Love it.
They did something else between then and now, surely.
Name it. I'd love to hear what it is.
They've been fighting Jay Lethal, Anne. You think that's nothing?
Oh, yeah,
nothing?
That's a deep storyline.
You think that's
a lot of
nothing
emotion
that they
it.
Had to fight Jay Lethal? They fought the Young Bucks at one point. That was a very fun little feud.
Oh,
remember
that's
that?
Right. Adam Cole. That was a whole thing.
That was fun. Yeah. They did the Adam Cole. And that. They did, yes, you do, because it was when Adam Cole hugged OC way up high, and then OC shimmied, and then they both fell so far down.
I do remember
big
that.
Fall.
OC was Adam Cole's first loss.
That's right.
I really thought you were going to say first love. How could you have forgotten one of wrestling's greatest romances?
And remember, OC wasn't allowed to punch Matt Jackson in the face because
that's
he's
right.
He's girl-coded?
No.
Yeah, because
no intergender.
No intergender wrestling.
You know, that is one of the things that I look back on. I do think about it often, and I ask myself, what was I supposed to infer?
Like, it's like we're, still don't understand.
It's a great question.
I do not know. And I don't I feel like we've never seen anybody else do that to Matt Jackson either.
No. No. Like, so it is like, is yeah.
What's going on here?
What is going on there? Sometimes wrestling does just do things where you're like, well, I know what I saw. I don't know what everyone else was supposed to see.
The vibe was like, you can't do that because you'll be disqualified. But they were both on the sidelines, and yet people on the sidelines aren't allowed to interfere with the match. But neither of them were fighting.
They can fight each other.
They
yeah,
in the match. Yeah,
yeah. Two men on the sidelines generally are allowed to punch each other without much happening.
Yeah, but sometimes the refs do interfere. But I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that, where one man was clearly being like, fight me, I dare you. And the other one was like, oh, I
wish I could.
But unfortunately, morally.
But my dad taught me never to hit a girl. Yeah.
I want to be so clear. I have a very fond memory of when he did it to Britt and when he did it to Matt Jackson. I think about it all the time.
It's on our TikTok that we abandoned.
Yeah. That's oh, right. Yeah. It's hard to make.
You're making great TikToks back then.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday we'll see some of my other vidding endeavors. Smash that like and subscribe button if you want to see some more of my vidding endeavors. Maybe I'll finish them. Okay. You guys want to play a friggin' game?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Leah, do you want to introduce this one?
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, I had the thought where I was like, oh, it would be so cool if we asked our listeners to send us wrestlers to put on a date instead of just drawing it randomly. And I meant to bring this up to my co-host and then have my co-host mention it on air last week, and I completely forgot. And I remember Tuesday night, when Monday night, something like that. Anyways, if you follow us on socials, you may have seen us post, ask for input. We did get some. If you didn't see it, sorry. But we have...
It's Leah's fault.
It is my fault. I didn't think about it. My brain is real bad.
So say we all.
Oh, yeah.
But if this goes well, maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah. It's a great idea. And we got a lot of responses for 2 days, I thought. So it was great.
So true. So
thank you so much to our beloved listeners.
Yes, thank you so much. So producer Marjorie is going to unmute again and give us some of the things that you guys suggested.
So first one, it's your special show. So it's a special treat. This is from listener Nico. And this is Chuck Taylor and Eddie Kingston.
I think Eddie Kingston canonically finds him incredibly annoying.
Hates him. Absolutely hates him.
But they're dating.
But they would have to go to a sporting event, right?
Like, yeah.
I think that's the only thing the two of them could do without killing each other.
And even then, I feel like we're in dangerous territory. I do not feel like those men are going to enjoy the sporting event in the same exact way. But I do love the mental image of Chuck Taylor repeatedly turning and being like, he's kissable about the basketball players. While Eddie Kingston is like, it's like, he's like, you're very secure in your masculinity and that's great, but I'm actually trying to watch a sport. I'm actually watching a sport right now.
It's not about it being boys. It's that Eddie doesn't really think anybody's kissable. Like, he doesn't think other people should, you know, be in his way.
I can't think of anything else that you could have those men do together. I mean, it's like, I actually just think that they're going to end up, well, no, they're not going to fight each other. But, like, Eddie's going to try and goad Chuck Taylor into a fight, and Chuck Taylor is going to be like, I'm too lazy to fight.
They honestly like might go to a bar, get really wasted, and then get in kind of a weird fist fight outside the bar.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like have an emotional breakthrough together and really share possibly. Some stuff.
Could be both.
Yeah, they might have a fist fight and then while they're sitting on the curb, like getting their bloody noses to stop, like then have kind of an emotional conversation.
I'm really just trying to figure out how they ended up on this date, to be honest. Like who asked who out on this date?
I feel like it's the kind of thing where it would be like there's like an AEW like fan event, and for a donation you can like draft two wrestlers into a date, and then
we become the new charity people at AEW. We design it.
It's to support like a random high school basketball team. Yes. It's fine.
Do we know why that event happened?
No, I don't.
I love it. So fun.
Good for
Kenny
them.
And Nick looked nice. So cute.
How do you think that Eddie would do at a escape room?
Mad. He's like, if I want to leave a room, I should get to leave the room. Because they lock you in there. You have to escape from them. I don't think he would like that at all. I feel like he'd be really discomfited.
I feel like he'd either be really mad or surprisingly get like really into it in a way that's like unpleasant for other people. But probably mad, yeah.
I think he could be good at it, but he wouldn't stop being mad. Like, I think he could be like, obviously that's the answer to the clue, but still just be like, I want to leave this fucking room. That's Dustin took him on that date and he knew he wouldn't like it. It was a taunt.
Did they have something in Chicago where they had to like carpool together for like a long drive? And that's like the genesis of why yes. Eddie thinks he's super annoying.
I believe that came up on an episode of BTE at one point. Yes. And that makes sense to me because especially if you were in that car with, it was like, if it was like Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy and, you know, some of the other Chicago, like 2.0 like, or something.
Right. Yeah.
It's like if I were Eddie, I would probably be like, I'm going to fully KMS about what happened here.
I know. So I've been on long car rides with coworkers and, you know, it's an experience.
Sometimes beautiful, sometimes not. Well, do we think that we answered this? Did we answer this question? We don't think they should date. We don't think they're compatible.
We spent the whole time being like, I think they'd kill
Here's how they would kill them. Kill each other and themselves.
And themselves,
the
yeah.
murder-suicide this would lead to.
Wow, beautiful.
Love it.
Okay, next up is from our dear, dear friend, Jenna. This is Brandon Cutler and Jade Cargill.
Why do I feel like, I don't think we've done that one before, but I feel like we have done Brandon with someone.
It's
we
Brit.
Have done Brandon with
and
someone.
Yeah. It was Brit. Marty DeRosa told us that
did a
beautiful
story. Yeah, before sunrise story.
Listen, I think this date would be fine because Brandon's made to be a stooge. Jade is made to have stooges. I think that they would get along great. She would tell him exactly what she needed from him. He would do it without complaint.
Yeah.
It's true.
The people who would be not be having fun about this date would be the Bucks.
Yeah.
Be like,
he's our stooge.
We're supposed to be attended to right now.
You know, in the old episode our old episode that I was listening to, it was after the Bucks heel turn, and we were talking about how part of their heel turn was that Brandon had been like, yeah, you guys like don't have it the way that you used to. Like you're not mean. You're not even mean to me anymore. So then they heel turn and they start being mean to him. And Brandon is that little like shocked meme of just like, oh, it's shocked Pikachu. Like, why are they being mean to me now? And then we agreed that it kind of makes sense for Brandon's characterization that he would be like, you guys aren't even being mean to me. And then be like, why are they now being mean to me? Unrelated. But he's got a job for life with the Bucks. I don't think the Bucks would like him being Jade's stooge boyfriend.
And yet, it would almost be worth it to see Brandon as a baddie.
Oh my gosh! In a little, like maybe back in his Lita outfit, or if he had a little cropped version of his sweatsuit, so it's like hot shorts and like right up to under the nips with the jacket.
It could be a look.
The Bucks go babyface again. Is Brandon going to have to change his whole outfit? I don't know if I can see him in things other than his sweatsuit and orbital shield.
Do you think his orbital would heal finally?
I don't know.
Is it only not healing because he's bad?
Yeah, like the curse.
Do you remember how long we watched him in that fucking dragon gimmick? It's like a D&D.
Literally, God. I have
honestly
one frame of a memory of Brandon as a dragon. But other than that, he's always had an orbital injury.
I can see it so clearly. He comes out and he's got like the shoulder pads and the fucking dragon mask and a giant D&D dice. And then he throws it dramatically and rolls it. And then he walks down. Oh, it was a whole thing.
Did this really happen?
There were a lot of...
That was his entrance.
Okay. Wow.
I like how you said that, like, is this a dream you had?
Well, no, I literally halfway through was like, I don't know if she's describing something she wants to see or something that I did see, but don't remember.
Yeah, Leah dreams of seeing Brandon in that outfit.
Every night, I dream of Brandon.
Please, God.
Okay, so Brandon would be great at going on a date with Jade.
Yeah.
He'd fall in line. So.
He'd hold her purse. He'd hold her wrap. He'd tell her whatever she wanted.
Honestly, if the Bucks are in the hospital for a while, he should consider just going over to
Jade. He just needs to find a new strong personality to attach himself to.
Well, because don't you want to see the like when the Bucks come back and Matt has to storm over and get his stooge back from Jade? Come on, I'd watch the shit out of that.
You're right. I do want to see that. Yeah.
Now that we're integrating stories again, like AEW, I think that's a real money on the table.
Come on, Tony.
Tony, big money.
Hey, Tony, ever heard of a big money segment, backstage segment? Don't these wrestlers want to do the job and make money? Everyone always saying, don't they want to?
Everybody's saying that Brandon and Jade would bring in the house, $1 million gate.
They wouldn't jeopardize it. They would get it. We have to move on.
We're going
to
get arrested.
For what? We haven't done anything. Producer Marjorie, could we have another pairing, please?
You may. Next up, this is from listener Christine. This is Danhausen and Taz.
Wow. Oh,
His son-in-law?
Wow. Whoa, shit.
Scandal.
That would be like a soap opera version of AEW.
Left Hook for his dad.
Well, Hook leaves him, so he fucks his dad. That's some like acclaimed shit.
Which
do you remember in American Beauty when she's like, please don't fuck my dad?
For some reason, I
think about that line all the time.
I'm trying to think of, you know what? It's not good radio. Taz and Danhausen, where are they going to go? I can't imagine this is a sexual date. Like, I think it's got to be a get to know you date. Like, Hook is like, you have to accept that this is my lover for life. So I need you guys to go out and get to know each other.
Like Taz takes him bowling or something.
Yeah, or like to Top Golf.
Oh, Top Golf. Yeah, that'd be nice. Danhausen's just looking like a little freak the whole time, and Taz is
he just got his little hands.
He was buying him like merch or whatever. So he's like wearing a baseball hat.
Do you think that he's buying him merch like to try and camouflage how weird he is? Like he's like, I'm embarrassed to be seen with my future son-in-law, so I'm just trying to buy him normal clothes so that the other dads here with their future son-in-laws don't look at me with repulsion and pity.
Son-in-laws.
I assume that's pretty much what's going on at Topgolf.
Yeah, I think that's all Topgolf is. It's just men with their future son-in-laws.
The destiny. You guys have anything else to add to that, or do we kind of nail it?
I think we straight up nailed it. Awesome. And honestly, I would watch that.
Oh, for sure.
Of course. Yeah. The thing that almost makes me maddest about the fact that they dropped the Hook Danhausen stuff is that we never get to hear Taz say those like weird things about how he guesses he's going to have to accept that Danhausen will be at Thanksgiving dinner or something.
It's honestly maddening. That. Why did they drop it?
You know why.
The
homophobia.
Homophobia.
Everybody enjoyed it a little too much. Doc Callis was like, shut it down.
Everybody was having too much fun.
I love thinking about Tony's little face, just being like, this isn't what I didn't mean for this to happen. I don't like what they're saying about them online.
It's the same reason Chuck Taylor doesn't go on TV anymore. So it's like, the women enjoy this too much.
Sometimes it does feel like he wants to deny us pleasure.
I know. He's like, this is not our core audience. We've got to take it away.
My God. Okay, give us another pairing, please.
Okay, next up, this is from listener DK. It is Mark Henry and OC.
OC just keeps saying things right before Mark Henry says them.
They're ordering, and Mark Henry opens his mouth. And Orange Cassidy is like, he'll have the steak.
Oh, they're at Chris Jericho Steakhouse in Florida. Perfect.
Yeah.
My favorite place. Oh, I love thinking of Chris Jericho at the steakhouse.
OC's belt's getting stolen in the parking lot.
Mark Henry is like dressed up because it's like a normal date. Like he's wearing like a blazer and a nice top, and he's like focused. And Orange Cassidy still in his like ripped denim.
Oh yeah, he did not change for the date, and he's wearing his sunglasses indoors.
I like that you said a nice top for Mark Henry. Like I assume you mean like
a button
down.
Just like a nice blouse. Yeah. Like a nice Macy's, like, little top.
Just kind of, yeah, like a business casual, nice top, yeah.
Mark Henry is dressed for a professional businesswoman's dinner.
Ann Taylor Loft, you know?
This cocktail definitely hit me in the last, like, 20 minutes, I would say.
I don't know that we're doing our best work on these dates, to be honest.
Okay, but where do you think they go? What is the location? What is the secondary location that they go to?
Secondary location. Whew.
I was really attached to Chris Jericho's steakhouse, and I know you meant like a steakhouse that he like frequented, but he owns it and he's the maitre d'. He like comes out and shows.
Oh, it's
he comes out in a nice top.
Okay. Make sure Chris Jericho, in a fit of pique after Le Dinner Debonair, purchased the steakhouse.
Nice.
He now owns it, and he's active with respect to running it because he knows how mm-hmm. important it is to be there mm-hmm. building the culture. Mm-hmm. And he also is kind of chaperoning this date to make sure that things don't get too sexy.
Oh, too he's fast. Concerned. Too fast. He wants them to go the distance. He doesn't want them to
Mark Henry's been hurt soon. Before.
Get to know each other.
That maybe the whole theme of his steakhouse is like this modern day respectful courtship.
Shasta did not like that at all.
You don't like that?
No, Shasta did it.
Oh, Shasta, please don't be a horn dog. And he goes around and he makes sure that they're not touching. But actually, Mark Henry he's so tall that probably his legs under the table, they are touching Orange
Cassidy. You think they're playing Little Footsie?
Well, not on purpose. I just think because of the size of the Chris Jericho's tables are too small. He needs to make some bigger tables.
TK, did you like this? Was this what you
like? After the date, they probably go for a little like walk on the boardwalk, and Mark Henry puts OC on his shoulders like a toddler, you know?
Oh, I want to see that. I want to see that.
That's fun. That's I love that.
I also want to see a boardwalk caricature of them.
Yes. Yeah, that would be good.
Why have we never gone to the boardwalk at wrestling?
I don't know.
That's a great question. Money on the table.
I know it is. I know it is. Should we have another pairing?
Let's do it.
These are good ones, by the way. Thank you, listeners.
Yeah, everybody's
thank you. You
doing
guys
great.
Did a great job. We may not be doing a great job, but you did amazing.
This is from listener Murr, and it is Trent and Rush.
Roosh.
Oh, Roosh.
Roosh. Yeah.
No, you weren't to know.
You wouldn't know that.
No.
I Trent actually have no idea what they would talk about. Trent is so weird.
Lifting.
Yeah. Gym date.
Oh, gym date. Yeah. I got pretty confused for a minute, but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, they go to the gym.
You know, Trent gets slapped with a fish a few times. Just normal stuff.
I think Bruce would be happy to slap him with a fish.
Oh, yeah. I think they'd both be pretty thrilled.
Oh, no. I just thought, like, maybe, like, Bruce will get involved in, like, Trent and Ryan Nemeth's, like, little skits. Like, maybe he shares that sense of humor. And so he'll just be, like, helping Ryan Nemeth walk weirdly down hills. And
they go buy, like, 1,000 hot dog buns for a bit.
I feel like this is related, but can't you also see Trent just being like, do you want to go catch frogs? Like, there's just like a creek nearby. He's like, you want to go catch frog? And Roosh is like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just hopping around in the stream, in the creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want that.
And they catch some really good frogs.
Do you remember when you said, it is my belief that Greg would have a shoebox under his bed full of dirt and worms that he believes his mother don't know about? Because I think about that. Like, really frequently, actually.
Now that you've said it, I remember it. But until that moment, no, it had left my consciousness completely. I think I was right about that.
Yeah, I was so right. It's never left me for a second.
And it's the same with the frogs he catches with Roosh. And I, his mother, am like, I actually have to be like, should I tell him frogs can't live in a box? Greggy, little Greggy. Frogs can't live in a box. The worms and the dirt is okay, but the frogs, we need to take them back to their environment, sweetie. They can't live under the bed.
Yeah, I mean, you at least have to have a terrarium.
Trent and Roosh are not going to want to hear that.
No.
You're not going to want that terrarium. Wow, great. What do you guys think? Should we move on to our next game, or do you want to do one more pair or something else or a third option that I haven't thought of?
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's do our next game.
Okay. Producer Marjorie, are you prepared for this game?
No.
I did just realize that we did forget to discuss this game with you.
What is it? You need some wrestler names?
We need some
what
wrestler.
Do you need?
So I'll describe the game.
Tell
Anne,
me.
Anne came up with this one. I think it's pretty good. She says, we all know that the scientific term for three men is a podcast. What you're listening to here, this is an anomaly, okay? We're women, but usually it's men. So we would like you, producer Marjorie, to give us three random wrestlers. They could be women too. And we will decide what their podcast is about and what the dynamics of that podcast are like. Producer Marjorie, are you ready?
So ready. Okay, your first trio of wrestlers, Bryce Remsburg, Anna Jay, Anthony Bowens.
Oh my God, guys.
That's interesting.
This is the sweetest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a nice podcast. They're just sweethearts.
Anna Jay's going to run the room, I think, though.
Yeah, probably, but, well, I don't know. I don't know. Anthony Bowens is a little, like, fame hog. I mean, not in a bad way.
Anna Jay, I feel like whenever she used to do her Dark Order segments, her vibe was a little bit, like, she did have a character of being, of, like, I'm pushy bossy, but it always felt like she was like, okay, I'm really working at this. Like, I've got to be bossy girl now. I kind of feel like it would just be, like, the topic of the podcast is something, like, random acts of kindness, or it's like they just have some sweetie pie topic, which is just where they're just like, let's talk about the ways that people can be so good and nice to each other.
I would love this if this was specifically like about AEW. So they'd be like, let's talk about something our coworkers did. I saw Matt Cadell pick up trash in the catering room. Someone had left their tray and without cleaning up, but Matt Cadell cleaned it up.
It's like the opposite of Dax's podcast.
Yeah, but also I just thought that Wrestling Twitter would respond to it the same way, where they'd be like, when Anna Jay said she saw Matt Sydal pick up trash, the trash was actually CM Punk. We'd read into it. They would have the sweetest little dynamic. I really think they would.
Yeah, and I feel like Bryce and Anthony Bowens would just be talking about how like nice their wife and boyfriend are. Probably Anna Jay too.
Like, just, yeah. I like
things at home,
like,
are
Jay
really nice.
Talk about it that though. No, why well, like is a nightmare.
What if they did a little relationship advice podcast, but all their relationship is just like so, like if they hear something like bad, they barely can give advice. They're just like, oh no, that's so sad.
That's so sad.
Oh, I don't think that that's a good boyfriend to have. I don't think so. You told me this week that Dante and Sky Blue broke up, and it was so devastating. I keep thinking, if Anna Jay and Jungle Boy break up, I would be like weirdly upset about it.
I know. And I feel like we wouldn't find out for like a long time probably either, because they're like pretty low key. Mm.
Except for that one time they post the picture where they came out as a couple and he was squeezing
that
her butt.
That one time. Yeah.
That one time he squeezed her butt.
That one time he squeezed her butt and then nothing for then 2 years.
Yeah.
Was it Sunny Kiss who went and told everybody that Jungle Boy liked Anna Jay?
She'd find out.
That's very wholesome.
Just told everybody.
That'd be the kind of subject of their podcast for sure. Just like sweet little get together stories.
Sunny Kiss should have a podcast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really.
Well, pass that along. But who will her co-host be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we feel like we answered the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably won't be listening to their podcast very often. Because I don't think that they're going to give me the dirt that I want.
Too nice.
Producer Marjorie, do you have a second trio for us?
Yes, we got Ruby Soho, Miro, and Kip Sabian.
This is the opposite podcast.
Yeah, this is going to be a much bitchier podcast. It's going to be a lot more fun.
Does Ruby Soho, if she played like video games or stuff, that would be a natural fit. Because Miro and Kip are both, well, so many people in wrestling are, but they're both like nerd freaks. Like, I mean, not Miro's not like a nerd freak. He's like a jock nerd. He wants to watch comic book movies, which I know Kip Sabian wants to talk about.
Probably. And he plays a lot of video games, Miro does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, good. You know.
Big time nerd.
The only thing I know about Ruby Soho's personal life is that she likes horses and that she lives on that
farm.
Anyway. Yeah, lives on a farm with someone problematic or something, maybe.
Well, or like near, it's like near someone problematic. Who's her best friend?
Right.
We don't know that.
We love to know things. We're really good at it.
I honestly,
the stuff we know is all like weird gossip. Like, we don't know a single move name, but like, yeah, Ruby Soho lives on a farm near someone problematic.
We have room in our brains for the things we need to have room for, not for anything else. I honestly, I know that I was confidently saying before, like, Miro and Kip could talk about video games or sexually bullying each other, but I don't know what this podcast could be about. I really don't know what these three people have gathered to discuss.
Unfortunately, like, wrestlers mostly have one interest, and that's like wrestling, and they might have a second interest, and that's video games, and that's about it. It seems like
they could do a review podcast. This would be like a bad podcast. I mean, but some people would really like it, and they make a lot of TikToks out of it. It's just where they review like just anything. And it's like every week there's a couple things that they review, and it's like a movie and a brand of soda and like, you know, an interstate, whatever. And then they just talk about
I'd
and
love
nothing
to hear reviews of an interstate.
Nothing. I have some interstates I'd love to review, but they have nothing sensical to say, and you don't leave feeling like you learned anything. Similar to listening to this podcast probably most weeks. But there's a lot of TikTok clips. They're in the TikTok economy.
Yeah. I could see a lot of very weird talking at each other in ways that aren't quite red. You know, it's like Kip and Ruby Soho having an exchange is just like, huh, yeah. What's lots that gonna be like?
Zooming in on someone's face just being like, what? And then they move on. Perfect. I think we nailed it as much as we could.
I like to think in the world that like this is a podcast that like is objectively terrible, but for some reason, three of us have gotten laser obsessed with it.
Really into it. You're
like dissecting it 5 seconds at a time.
Damn it, Leah.
Did you see a couple that we
were like, Miro and Kip, really? I think they're into each other.
Yeah. Like, the energy between these co-hosts is just something that you want to talk about. Okay, producer Marjorie, can you move us along?
Next up, we have Wheeler Yuta, Colton Gunn, and Big Bill.
Oh, no.
We were going in one direction, but then we...
Yeah.
You know, we haven't learned a single piece of gossip about Big Bill. We don't know anything about his personal life, which is shocking for us. I don't know where that man came from. Like, if you told me that he sprung fully formed from someone's thigh...
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, whenever he showed up on TV.
And also, everything I know about the Gun Club came from Austin Gunn, so I actually have no real grasp of Colton Gunn.
Which is which again?
Colton is the one, the taller one with the hair, the older one.
Yeah. The one you don't think is cute.
But he's the one who's on this podcast?
Yeah. That's right.
That's
me
unfortunate.
And Leah's favorite gun.
Yeah. I wish that Austin were on this podcast.
I mean, I like Colton better, but like I agree because Austin has more of a definable personality.
Yeah, it's a little more vocal.
So I think Yuta Colton is somehow Wheeler. The star of this podcast.
That feels right.
I can't imagine Big Bill is saying very much on the podcast.
What is the topic?
I feel like Big Bill's the guy like working the soundboard, like he does like shock jock sound effects.
They're a morning radio
producer
show. You're like
Bill.
It's on a podcast.
Producer Bill, yeah, exactly. Making little fart noises. Yeah.
You know, there's a good episode of Monk where there's a shock jock. He commits a murder.
Oh my gosh.
It's not a surprise. You're very clear on it from the beginning. It's just a question of figuring out how he did it.
I like that two different listeners wanted to make sure that you knew that there was a Monk movie.
Thank you. I didn't know before the listeners let me know. So I appreciate our listeners. Thank you so much. And Monk is a great show. I have four episodes left, but I haven't watched them because I feel so sad. I don't want it to end. So anyway, Wheeler Yuta is a shock jock.
Yeah, so Wheeler Yuta and Colton Gunn are shock jocks on a morning drive time situation. Actually, I could kind of see that working. Like, they could get a weird dynamic going. Shock jocks never kind of seem like they'd be friends outside the show, you know?
That is true. Because they have to be kind of antagonistic to each other. Yeah. That's kind of the shtick.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's just like, y'all piece of shit.
It's just like Colton bullying Wheeler mostly.
That's Big Bill.
I want them to have like stupider names too. Like they're like Bubba and Mudslide.
Mudslide.
Okay. It's 102.5 Bubba and Mudslide with producer
Big Bill.
Big Bill, you don't have to change. That's there.
No, it's perfect as it is.
Great. That's an amazing. What if actually though? Let me hit you with this. It is a podcast that is doing a high level parody of shock jock culture.
Kind of like how QTV is a really high level parody of TMZ. Yeah,
exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, I think we nailed it. Let's move on.
Let me ask you real something. Should we rename producer Marjorie producer Big Marjorie?
Big Marge?
I think she'd love it. Yeah.
I see on her face that she's saying yes, ladies, please. Do we want to do? Can we do one more?
Let's do one more. It's our anniversary. No one can stop us.
That's they can't stop us.
And we're like three drinks in.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Next up, we got Dax Harwood.
No.
We're gonna get in trouble.
He found us.
Okay. Go on, Marjorie. We're strong.
Ethan Page.
Okay.
And Keith Lee.
Huh. Dax. Okay, this is the podcast.
Dax, Ethan, and Keith.
I think producer Marjorie has talked to us before about a podcast where, remember that one where it's like three hosts and then you were like one of them left, but the other two don't really seem like they're friends. Never mind. She's just looking at me. But I really think this could be the kind of podcast where it like is kind of normal at first when you start listening. But very quickly, like, two of these people like each other. And one of them, I don't know how he ended up on this show. They don't have a good relationship with that guy.
Marge, do you remember what she's talking about?
You're talking about Puck Soup.
Yes, Puck Soup.
Yeah. Which I love as a description for Puck Soup. I love what you just said.
Perfect. And these are the hockey men who once talked about wrestling.
Yeah, they talk about wrestling pretty frequently, actually.
Whoa. Mm. What do you guys think is going on with these three guys?
Yeah, I do feel like it's got to be something where it's like they got Dax on the podcast because like they had like one good conversation early and they didn't know him that well, and then they got him on and they've had like three episodes and they're like, oh no, it's too late. Like, and they've got merch up.
It can't be like a really conversational podcast. Like it needs to be a podcast that's focused on something. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's like toys or something. And like, who is the third person? So it's
Keith Lee and Ethan
are both big, huge nerds.
Huge nerds. And they keep doing the thing where they exchange looks over the Zoom where they're like, oh God. But like, they just keep powering forward and being like, it's fine. We'll fix it in post. We'll just cut a lot of this. It's fine.
They want to have like such a cheerful, like good natured nerd podcast, and Dax keeps saying things that he should not say.
I know. I'm just trying to think like what is the exact topic that Dax ended up there? But it is, it does have to be a thing where it's like Ethan Page and Keith Lee are even handed and optimistic. Like that is what mm-hmm. they're bringing to the table kind of separately. Ethan Page is like, I'm a cheerful guy. I'm optimistic. I'm happy. Keith Lee is like, I'm also optimistic, but I'm level. I'm measured. I'm bringing thoughtful. Yeah. Energy to the table. And then Dax is just jumping in like, well, you know what I think about people who like this? I guess I don't think that they're very good people. That wasn't my best work. But in my defense, I've never been on a podcast. So
but But it is something like they're on like a bourbon podcast or like, you know, just something wretched. Like, and Dax's opinions keep being like, well, you're really alienating all our sponsors right now, but great.
Well, I wouldn't listen to it. I'm sorry.
If Jack Daniels and Jim Beam would just get along, I think we could figure this whole thing out.
Big money. Neither
of those are bourbon. That's fine.
You know what? To me, it worked. Because I don't know anything. So, it seemed right and fine to me, for sure.
Thank you.
They are bourbons, I
think. Are they?
Damn it.
Jim Beam. I was like, I don't think that's right.
What about Jack?
Okay, well, I second guessed myself. I was like, I made a good joke. And then I was like, I can't have made a good joke. Well,
Jack
just edit all this
whiskey.
Out.
So
fix it in post. Great. Hey, fix it in post.
You're in control, baby.
As Dax Hardwood says, fix it in post.
Dax Hardwood. It's really unfortunate. Ooh. No, I won't say it. Okay. Guys, this has been a really fun anniversary episode. You guys have any dreams for our, who you want to become as a podcaster going forward or a person?
Oh, wow.
I want us to make it to three. I want us to make it to 3 years. Okay. If we don't, I hope that we flame out in something like bright and scandalous. I hope we have an on-air fight. Like, I hope that somewhere
that doesn't get fixed in post.
And then, like, Allie just disappears from the podcast. And
oh my
never
god!
Say
I
where she
to
went.
Tell them.
No, I'm cutting it.
No, don't cut it. Let me tell the listeners.
I'm cutting it.
Don't cut it, Leah. I will be traveling for 2 weeks. I will not be present next week or the week. Do not cut this. I will not be present for 2 weeks. You'll be having some amazing guest co-hosts that I wish I could be here to talk to. I can't wait for you to meet them. Do not cut this. I will be going on a series of vacations, which I can't wait to tell you about later. Don't cut this.
Yeah, listeners, don't worry. Allie's definitely going on vacations. It is not because we've had a massive fight. This is not her last podcast ever.
It is not because your mommies do not love each other anymore.
You didn't do anything, listeners.
You didn't do anything wrong. Just because you'll have
I'm coming back for you, listeners. I'm getting custody of you, listeners. Okay? I will get custody.
Just because your mommies are not on the same podcast doesn't mean they love you.
Listen, you'll have two podcast feeds. Isn't that fun?
It's not fun. It's not what's happening. I love my co-host and I'll be back. I'll be back better than ever. We're going to do business and we're going to make big money. Do you guys have any dreams for the future? Leah wants us to break up. So that's amazing. Anne, you got anything?
I just hope we, you know, keep learning, that we learn one thing this year, this coming year.
I think
between now and our anniversary, I think we'll learn one thing.
If you guys want to make Bill's personal life, but.
Oh, yeah. If we could learn one thing about Big Bill's personal life.
I do know
I'd love
one
that.
Thing about his personal life. He's dating Dasha.
Really?
Who? Oh. Dasha? Yeah. Huh.
Hi, this is Leah, the next day sober. Bill Morrissey is dating Lexi Nair, not Dasha. If we could retain any facts, you wouldn't love us.
Huh. Just pulled that out of nowhere.
How'd you know that?
Yeah, hey, that was my one thing for the year.
Perturbed.
How'd you know that?
How you know?
What's your secret? How'd you know that?
How you know?
I'm a little disturbed that you knew one thing about Big Bill's personal
life. Yeah, where'd
you
find that out? I'm not joking.
I have approximate knowledge of many things.
Do you sometimes wish that you could get a legit up-to-date headcount on how many backstage couples we have at AEW?
Literally every day of my life.
Yeah. Like,
I
just want the roster.
I want it to be something that would absolutely stagger me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's outrageous that they want to hide that information from us. Although, with the AEW reality show coming out, they're turning the cameras on in places they've never been allowed to go before. So,
I can't believe, Allie, you're not going to be here for the first episode.
I know. Well, I hope that it does hit the internet. Well, yeah, I won't be here to talk about it.
It's going to be this Saturday, actually. I think it's
going
to
be. I think we'll be able to find it on the Pirate Bay starting on Saturday. But actually, I have nothing to say. I'm so excited to see it. That's it. That's all I have to say. I am sad. Don't you think it's funny that
they keep saying where the cameras have never gone before when WWE had like a series of reality shows?
Yeah, but that was at a different promotion.
Right. So they've never been allowed. And never... also Cody Rhodes had a reality show at this promotion.
Everyone was making Cody blur them out. The place that they've never been allowed to go before is showing Matt and Nick Jackson's faces on TV.
Wow. Incredible.
And Kenny's.
And Kenny. I am excited for Kenny's face to be on TV.
I can't wait. How long is it, the show? 1 hour or 30?
I think it's an hour.
One full hour?
Well, I don't even know for sure, I guess. Hopefully one full hour.
I hope it's one full hour. that tweet where someone was like, I saw it and, you know, you'd leave it on. You wouldn't go out of your way to watch it. I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, depends on your
priorities.
You
wouldn't go out of your way to watch it.
This is why wrestling fans don't understand what's going to get women interested
exactly.
in wrestling.
Exactly. I want to see you half shoot, half work some storylines backstage.
Yeah, tell me some lies. Yeah.
Tell me sweet little lies. This has been an amazing ending to the episode. Do we have anything else to say? It's to me. Leah, say something nice to me right now on air.
Allie, I really do hope you come back this year.
I will come back. I will be back. Say,
I hope
this.
To see you again.
Don't Allie, do this to me.
In the future, I really hope to see you.
I don't
and
like
I
this.
Hope
red.
Our friendship survives.
Red. Red. Red.
Mark Hamill. This is no longer good content.
Well, this has been Tunnel Talk. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme's by Chris Perkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr Tunnel Talk Pod, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week. I won't be here, but I'm not gone forever, listeners. And Leah's going to say something nice to me the second we're off the air. So see ya. I'm waiting, Leah. I'm waiting.
You did such a good job today.
I don't believe you.
Amazing job.
I don't believe you.